Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you have done.
Welcome, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2804. I'm Carol Levine, and I'm Vice President of NASCA, and I will be running the show tonight. But I have with me Michelle Bliss. Like I say, I always feel blessed when I have Michelle Bliss. Yes, I do.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. So I'm going to read the mission statement. I've been looking over the, before I get into that, I've been looking over the, you know, what's being written on Facebook and so forth. And there's things that we should talk about. I have some information here. And it might help clear up some of the questions that people have. I don't know. If they don't, they can call me. Okay. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent and physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways, and that is, number one, of course, educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. They're still in the taboo of sexual abuse. I don't want to talk about it. I don't blame them. It's not a nice subject, is it? All right. Presenting facts is showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem, which we already know, and it does, of course, affect everyone. When your house gets broken into or whatever, there's B&Es and there are people, whatever the case might be, this is how child abuse, you know, these kids a lot of times, they came from homes that were very, very bad. Maybe there was a lot of fighting going on, whatever. And they become volatile themselves, okay? This is a problem. It's a problem. So that's how it affects us. You see, you know, then the police have to be called. We've had things stolen from our houses. Maybe there's more action than we'd like to even talk about. So don't think that it doesn't affect us, because it does. All right, number two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Prevention, of course, is if we can get out there, all of us, and help to, you know, let society know, give them, you know, what children look like when they've been abused, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever, because it does show its ugly head and face. This is one thing that NASCA does, is we educate people so that hopefully then they'll make a phone call to the right people to help this child. For God's sake, don't just walk away and turn away, because that's what we've been doing for so many years. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I was looking at the stats the other day on the child abuse. We're going way, way, way up, okay? We live in a very dangerous world right now. We don't know what's happening. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I don't know about other people in the country, but New Jersey is sort of like thinking about, you know, like a lockdown again. I call it a lockdown, whatever. You know, because the pandemic is supposedly with its variants, and this brings all different kinds of stress to people, okay, all kinds of things. Are we going to lose our jobs again? Or the ones that have jobs and are getting jobs, they expect a certain amount of pay, which is a lot more than what we used to know about, you know, with the minimum wage jobs to get minimum wage pay. It's not like that anymore. You get $15 an hour, $17 an hour, depending on what it is. I'm all for people getting raises, absolutely, because you can't live on $8 an hour. But the small business owners, and even, and even the restaurants, they can't afford. Michelle, I saw this on TV the other night. This restaurant owner had this great big vat. I guess he does a lot of, you know, frying and stuff like that, deep fat frying, whatever. And at one time it used to cost him $30, say, and that might not be totally right, but very close to that, for this vat. Now it's costing him over $100 just for one vat.
Wow.
So you see, we're living in times, of course, with the gasoline and everything going up, 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 that it makes it very hard, for people just to survive. And unfortunately, they take it out on themselves and they take it out on their children. And this is not a good thing. So when I speak about prevention, intervention, and recovery, we talk about our kids too. This is an adult, you know, show, and but on the other hand, we were kids once, and the things that we went through many times filters into our adulthood, and we don't learn things the way maybe we should have. We make mistakes by, you know, making poor judgment calls. Yet, you know, we're going to do that for a very long time, maybe even forever, because we're wired differently. We just are at this point. And because of the things we had to go through as a kid, okay? And many of us didn't get help. Many of us didn't get help. So in cases like that, we grew ourselves up and we made a tremendous amount of mistakes. And then we go along, and either we're going to become good people or we're going to become not good people, okay? And there isn't anything really in the middle, all right? No gray areas. But I've been looking at our Facebook, and I see a lot of things at times that, you know, should be addressed. And one of the questions that was asked not too long ago, and I have the answers for that, and it's from www.ons.gov.uk. The UK comes out with a lot of good information, and I respect them. And they know the information for over there, and they know the information for over here, so I can use it. And it says here, how many victims become abusers? How many times are you going to ask that, Michelle?
Oh, a lot. And unfortunately, more than half that were victims end up being abusers, more than half.
Right. Okay, well, according to these studies here, it shows that only about one-third of people who are abused in childhood will become abusers themselves. And then it says, yes, this is a lower percentage than what they expected. But
I don't know.
I have to disagree
with that.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I think it's more. That's just my opinion, but. You know.
You know what I think? I think that with the physical, especially the physical, all right, not that sexual isn't way up there, but I've looked at a lot of studies, and a lot of times sexual is below physical, okay? The kids are getting hit, and not just during the pandemic time, but in general, yes, there's a tremendous amount of sexual abuse going on, you bet. But there's a lot of physical. Yeah. There's a lot of physical. So it says here, how does an abusive childhood, how does that affect the adulthood? Quiet. My phone, it's always going off with me. I'll hide it again. That's what I usually do, and that's what I should have done. All right. How does an abusive childhood affect the adulthood? Oh, my God. How doesn't it? Okay, this is the problem. And we have so much, you know, couples out there that are fighting amongst their children, and they're just fighting all over the place. And it's not a good thing. It just simply isn't a good thing. It says, now, during the developmental time, when children, you know, are growing up, if they're around domestic violence, Michelle, and sexual abuse and all the other things that go with it, the adult consequences of trauma, which can also lead to substance abuse many times, we know that, eating disorders,
absolutely,
depression, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the eating disorder starts in the teenage years. And I've seen that before, and I was taught that many times, you know, in the early teens, this is something they can control. This is why there's anorexia and bulimia, you know. They can't control their surroundings, what's going on around them in their life, but they can control what they eat and what they don't eat. This is what they think. I'll speak about
right.
that for a minute. I saw this show not too long ago where this person waited for everyone to go to bed, and she was in her late teens, I guess. And so then she would make her dinner, okay, and she'd make herself a salad. She said, well, now look, I'm getting all of these vitamins. I'm getting tomatoes. I'm getting cucumbers. I'm getting peppers. I'm getting onions. Onions doesn't have too much, but it's good for the salad. I'm getting olives. I'm getting this. She's putting all these things in. Where is the fat, Michelle? Okay, see, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The body has to balance out, okay? So what happens is these kids, they might be getting a lot of vitamins, but in order to have a balanced diet, you have to have a certain amount of this and a certain amount of that, or you're going to become anorexic, or you may become the opposite, which, of course, is bulimic, where you eat so much, and then you put your finger down your throat, and you throw up. So kids who have been abused, usually during the teenage years, that's one thing that they display an awful lot is, you know, anorexia and bulimia. So that can go into adulthood and all kinds of stuff. Now, next thing to speak about.
Let me add to that.
Go ahead.
Now,
yeah, also,
the bulimia, anorexia can also happen with adult women. They might not never experience abuse as a child, but say they get into a relationship with someone who's very controlling and abusive, and then they start calling them fat. And so
they try to, because
I met adult women that had anorexia and stuff. They didn't go through what we went through as a child, but they did get into an abusive relationship, and the guy was so mind-controlling, you know, to make them think they're fat and ugly, and they try everything they can to lose weight. But that's why I said, you know, abuse is abuse, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, or sexual.
That's right. That's absolutely right. We have a 617 area code here. Yeah, I'm glad you did that. Yeah, I agree with you. Here's a 617 area code. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Nancy Brown. I'm just coming in.
Hi, Nancy. How are you? I'm glad you called in. Yeah, tonight we're having a discussion show, and I have Michelle Bless on tonight, and she's just wonderful. She really is. And we get along so well. So we have these discussions, if you will, with information that we gather, and we talk about it. So, and it's things that people need to know, things for people to watch, you know, with child abuse. And, you know, so often, Nancy, you know that when kids come from abusive homes and they don't get the help they need, it filters over into their adulthood. And so what we were just talking about here was, how they display these certain types of behaviors. And one is anorexia and bulimia, okay, because teenagers can't control what's going on around them, or the smaller ones can't control what they do. So it turns into many times as that being one of the behaviors that they will, you know, show or display. They try to hide it. They try to justify it, especially their teenagers, right? Look at all the vitamins I'm getting from my salad. Yeah, okay. You know, but I saw this girl, it was 78 pounds. 78 pounds, Michelle.
Wow.
And it, It was horrifying looking at her. She's about maybe 22, I think. I think she's about 22. She did die. Because what happens is the body shuts down, okay? You can't have all these lack of vitamins going into you. Yes, you can have all kinds of vitamins, but you don't have the perfect balance. You're going to be anorexic and all this other stuff. I think it's good for people to watch their weight. I could lose always that 10 pounds that I'm talking about and never quite do because I like candy, you know. But it's a very sad thing how it does go into our adulthood because it doesn't matter if you're 22 or if you're 42. I have a family member that I feel is borderline anorexic. And, you know, now that person is getting too skinny. Because
I weigh 65 pounds, so.
There you go.
Out there on drugs and stuff, but I didn't eat. But I don't know if that's what it was. But you know, I didn't want to eat. I was suicidal. I was on drugs and stuff like that. So I used to weigh 65 pounds.
God mercy.
And,
God help you.
They didn't even know how I made it. When I finally went and got help. They were surprised that I was still living. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
but I know why, because God kept me. But yeah, it's not a joke, and you know you be so malnourished and your body is not getting the proteins and the other stuff that it needs to function. And
That's right.
It was shut down, you know, and then it definitely messed with your mental state. So yeah. That's a lot.
Absolutely. It is a lot. It's terrible. So, Nancy, what do you think about this? Yeah, let's see what Nancy thinks about, you know, I don't know how long you've been listening, but, you know, what's going on today, okay, no one knows what tomorrow is bringing. And all of the abuses are skyrocketing again. They had started to level off just a little bit, yes, but now it's gotten really high again, and I don't know what the heck's going to happen next. So that means that if there's homeschooling again, people, you know, they're not teachers, a lot of them, they don't know how to teach their kids, and a lot of them, the abuse comes from home. We know this.
Well, did you hear about Michigan?
What was that?
Did you hear about what happened in Michigan? I don't know whether it was a high school or freshmen's or preschool. I don't know what the school shooting.
Oh,
31 people, 31 kids.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well, you know, I have to say one thing. Now, I don't know what you guys think, but you see, I was brought up around guns all my life. Yeah, you know, with a lot of weird people all my life. So that's why I'm a little weird, I guess. I don't care. I have fun. But, with the guns, I don't worry about the weapon, okay? I worry about the person who picks up the weapon and who pulls the trigger. That's the problem. Because
Absolutely.
Don't forget, I was brought up, and you were brought up, Nancy, I don't know if you were brought up around guns or not, but I was brought up around all kinds of guns, and there were hunters in my family on my so-called father's side, okay? So they would go out hunting, and they had all kinds of weapons. They just simply did. And no one shot each other. They may have beaten each other up. I saw a lot of that stuff going on. But no one even thought of picking up a gun to shoot someone. They just didn't do it. They didn't do it. So it's my thought that, you know, with all this gun battle going on, there's an awful lot of people that are doing it, but there's an awful lot more people who wouldn't do it. So what happens is if you take away the guns, let's think for a second here. If you take the guns away from the good people who wouldn't go out and shoot someone, unless it's self-defense, which I believe in, But normally speaking, who wouldn't, you know, just go out and start going on a gun spree? Take all the guns away from the good people, and you're still going to have the bad people. And they're going to have their guns because they know where to get them. Period.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're sitting ducks.
Absolutely.
That's the way it goes. And remember, a weapon doesn't always have to be a gun. It can be a knife. It can
mm-hmm.
be a bottle that's broken, okay? There's a lot of things you can make into weapons.
Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
You know, I believe in our amendment rights. Yes, I do. And I don't think they should be taken away. And if someone comes after us, by God, Nancy, if someone came after you, wouldn't you defend yourself?
Absolutely. I have my gun, and I have my gun license. I had it in Boston
Good.
When I lived there, and I have it here in Georgia. And so I'm a big firm believer that education is key. You know, we have access and the right to carry. And as long as we get training, get educated on how to properly clean the gun, how to properly store the gun, how to use the gun, when to use the gun. Like, if we take the steps to get educated on how to protect ourselves and how to use the gun appropriately, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I did want to say something. Again, I came in a little later, so I just kind of heard the entail of it, but I did catch one of the main points was that a lot of children who've been abused or people who've been abused, they go through this mental illness, mental disorder where they start to really focus on the way that they look. And that's the one thing that they have in control, that they are in control of. Not just people, that's not just a mental illness. Unless it goes obsessively, because you can set a goal and say, you know what, I'm not happy with this. I'm going to commit to myself that I'm going to do this to make myself better. But some people are just like, I don't like this. I hate this about myself. I'm ugly. They're putting themselves down, and all the abuse is still reflected and, you know, it's still affecting them to the point that they are just hate themselves, right? They build this hate for themselves. But it's definitely, what is it called, body dysmorphic disorder, where you start to just really just pinpoint something and just start to attack yourself. You're used to being attacked by people. You're used to being judged by people. And then you start to judge yourself, just like the children that were in the garden. They didn't know they were naked until they were made to be to know that they were naked, right? So we're innocent, we're beautiful when we're born, and we come different colors, different shapes, different sizes, and we don't notice those things until those things are pinpointed to us in a mean way. So, you know,
that is really
disorder.
Good. What you just,
I've dealt with it.
Yeah, that is good what you just said, because kids, when you know, little kids, they don't see color. They don't even notice a difference. They are so caught up in playing with each other, loving on one another, until us as parents tell them the difference or say what color they is, you know.
Or just mean people, because some people are just so mean. I mean, you'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Like, you really took joy in trying to hurt somebody. Some people take pleasure in trying to hurt and trying to leave a bad imprint or just being mean at the moment. Maybe they don't look deep into the psychological effect of what it's going to do, but some people actually take pleasure in being mean.
Wow, that's really good.
Yes,
yeah, I agree.
I like it too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, and especially when I lived in Staten Island, I had friends of all different races. You know, it didn't bother me, and we had a good time together. We did, you know, we'd run the streets. Not that we were supposed to be, but, you know.
I know you were a little.
I know. I was a little rough girl, but we were all rough. That's okay. We got along fine.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah,
and, well, you see, the school that I went to, though, Nancy, as long as we were back into the courtyard by the time the bell rang, it was okay. We could leave.
Oh, my gosh. So they didn't even know what was going on. Oh, my.
Well, let me tell you what. You see, perverts go where children go, and they love schools, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they do.
Yes. So yours truly, me here with the sugar mouth, of course, I go down to one of the stores, and I get malted balls. Oh, I love those malted balls. Oh, yes, I did. And I'd save some of my money for lunch for the malted balls, all right? In those days, I could take a nickel, and I could get a big bag of malted balls that were so fresh. And I would do that like three times a week. What I didn't realize is that I was being watched, okay? And that was by a pervert.
You're being watched?
But yeah, by a pervert, you know, by a pedophile. So what happens is, you know, okay, we have people that have eating disorders when they've been abused. With me, I had panic attacks, and it went into my adult life. And people always have to remember that the pedophiles always go where the children go, you know. And even though we were like a pack, we had our own little gang of people, all right, we kids, I would take off from my malted balls, and then I'd come back and share it with everybody and have a good time. But we were being watched. We were being watched by this nut. And so out of this whole mess of people that I was hanging out with, he chose me and followed my city bus home, found out where I lived, and, of course, I got kidnapped and raped. All right, whatever. Not going to get into that story. But what we were talking about, too, is how it affects us, you know, in our adult life. And, you know, to be abused as a child. And you know, I look at things under gov.org, and I also look at other ones that I have listed down here, you know, Psychology Today and all that. And it has in Psychology Today six ways that a rough childhood can affect adult relationships. And I just want to make mention of this part here because it says women ages 18 to 24 have the intimate partners that are, you know, most abusive during that time, if they're going to be 18 to 24 years of age. And only 19% involve weapons in domestic violence. I found that to be, I thought they'd be a lot higher than that, but it was only 19%.
And, interesting.
Yeah. And this is from Psychology Today. And they would know because they get on the scenes and stuff. They send people out. Domestic violence has a higher rate of depression and suicide behavior, and only 34% of people receive medical attention when their intimate, you know, partner has beaten them up.
Mm-hmm.
Only 34%. You see, they protect them.
Of course.
Yeah.
I experienced domestic violence.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I mean, like when I sit and share about it, people look at me and say, that knows me now, like, oh, I can't even imagine you allowing that to happen, Michelle. Like, you're so strong. Before I was strong, I was weak. And because you got to understand, when a little girl, a little boy is being raped and beaten and raped and abused and they don't get help, and then you become a teenager, of course you're going to rebel. But in this process of growing up like that, a lot of kids, they seek love. They want somebody to love them because the only attention they have gotten was the abuse, right? So if someone comes around and be friendly and nice, they, you know, we absorb. Well, let me speak about me. I absorbed that. I sponged it up, you know? So, I didn't know I was being bamboozled. I didn't know it was a predator that was watching me. And you know, and then I fall in love and thought he was my Prince Charming. And once he knew that I was in love with him, that's when the real him came out. You know, and it happened so suddenly. And then so what happened is, okay, you being abused. And then they'll come to me, but I love you. You know I love you. You know you made me do this. You know, it's a whole mental thing with the abuser, with the one that's hurting you, that is a victim. So like, it don't matter how they, when they beat you, you know, you don't want to, you hate what they're doing, but you love them, and you're stuck.
Right.
Because you have low self-esteem. They brainwash you to think that don't nobody want you but them. So you don't want to be by yourself. And what you do is hold on to the memories of good times when they don't beat you, you know.
Yeah.
It's just.
Right.
And it's just, it's sad. It's very, very sad. I mean, you know, because I minister to, you know, I minister to the women that are in domestic violence safe houses, hiding from their accusers and their abusers, you know. And it's a very, very sad thing when I look at them and they are so broken. They don't feel worthy. They feel no one would ever want them, you know. And so when I sit around these women and I share my, they look at me like there is no way. And then I bring my team in and you know, we do 5 days with them, you know, get their hair done and their nails done and their toes done and bring them beautiful outfits and heels to make them feel better. You know, I take a picture of how they look before we start. And then once they get all together and they see themselves, and I say, this is what me and my team will tell them, this is what we see. But the main thing I said, this is what God sees. You just got to believe what you see. So look, you know, and then we'll take a picture of their afterwards, of how, after we make them up. And so before I leave, I want to leave them with something. I leave them with, of course, the beautiful clothes and the you know, the heels and stuff like that. But I leave them 2 pictures that if they ever get that feeling, which they were going to get that feeling because they're in the healing process, but they can look at the before and after picture. And you look at that after picture and say, oh, okay, this is me. So I'm not what he said I was. I am beautiful. I'm not ugly. To give them reinsurance and encouragement. Yeah.
I like that, Michelle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, I think that's a good idea because, you know, what she's saying is spot on. I'll give you an example. Let's see. Husband number one. Okay, yeah, it was husband number one. He used to say to me, we would, you know, part and then we'd get back together again. Part and then get back together. Mm. It was stupid. But I remember him one time saying to me, you know, you look so much better now than when we were together. And I'm thinking, you know, at one time I was thinking, well, I was, I was feeling bad. I was feeling sad, not feeling pretty and all this other stuff. And then when we'd separate, I'd fix myself up because I did want to go out. Mm-hmm. I had good babysitters that I trusted. I was very careful that way. And all this other stuff. Well, sure, I had guys asking me out, and I started over time realizing, it took time though, Michelle, I started realizing that, hey, there's a big difference here. When I'm with him, and I never went back again when I realized this, when I'm with him, he's always downing me, telling me this, telling me that, I can't do this, I can't do that, whatever nastiness would come to his brain. And then I'd get away from him, And fix myself up and have, you know, guys say, oh, you're nice looking, you know, you're smart, you're this, you're that, all the things opposite of what he would say. And then I finally left. I was able, it like helped give me strength. That and the church that I belonged to at the time, okay, that church, it did help me.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two things, you know, it gave me the strength to walk away and not look back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did. I walked away and I didn't look back. I left him in 1978. Mm. And yeah, it's a long time ago. And he died about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, something like that. But, you know, it's what we have to realize is that they torment us, Nancy, they do. They, you know, our abusers can be our husbands. They can be our significant other. And, you know, in domestic violence cases, and they can make us, you know, they can make us just feel so bad about ourselves that like Michelle said, you know, who's going to want us and all this other stuff. I got down to 95 pounds, okay? And my son, I don't know why he did this. He thought I looked good. Gee, thanks, kid. But
oh,
he took
my gosh.
Well, I don't know. He must love his mother or something. But anyway, he took a picture of me, and I was holding my daughter, who was just a toddler at the time. He's like 2.5 years old, so he was, you know, like 4.5, 5 years old. And there was a picture of me, and I was 95 pounds. And, my God, I mean, I don't want to be 95 pounds. My husband at the time had gotten very heavy because he's working the 3 to 11 shift, and, well, he's eating and all this other stuff, but there was no food in the house and
right.
no corn. Isolated from people. Yeah. And I couldn't get food for the kids right, and my poor little girl was still on jarred baby food, and there was like a, I won't call it a bodega, I was down in Morganville, that's sort of country, you know, it's country down there. But a little food store, and they did carry baby food, and the people in there were nice. They knew that there was trouble, but they didn't ask me what the trouble was, and I didn't tell them. So if I had enough money to buy, say, like 3 little jars of baby food, they'd give me 5. And they would just look at me and smile, and I graciously accepted because I needed it, you know, my little girl. And if I bought, you know, some cheese, they had a little deli section. If I bought some cheese and a loaf of bread, if I asked for a quarter pound, I'm just saying, because I had hardly any money on me, no, it wouldn't leave me much. He would give me 0.5 pound. This is what they did with me, all right? And this canned soups. I mean, I didn't have much money, so I couldn't spend much. But, you know, they'd always give me an extra can. I mean, these people, now that's what we're supposed to do if we are good people. You know, you help someone in need, all right? This is what you do. And if everyone would do that, like I walked into a store that was a bodega, it was in a city area, and there was this gal, and she didn't quite have enough money for a loaf of bread, and she had children. And I thought to myself, this is horrifying, you know, because I'd been there. I knew what she was going through. So I bought her a loaf of bread. I said, here, give me that bread. I'll buy it for you. And she said, you'll do that? I said, yes, I'll do that. And the jerk behind the counter goes, ooh, lucky lady. You know, you see, there's the differences of people. There's the differences of people. She was only like 25 cents short, and he wouldn't give her that loaf of bread.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's
seriously?
Seriously.
Yeah.
So you see, as long as we have people out there that, you know, can't, even if someone had given the quarter, because he made it clear that she was 25 cents, you know, she didn't have it. If someone would just give her the 25 cents, that's good. You know what I'm saying? But I decided I'm going to do better. I'm going to get her a whole loaf. You know, what do you do? It's not killing me, and it's helping her.
Well, God bless
you.
That is a blessing.
Well, you know, this is what's wrong with society, okay?
You have society at home don't give.
No.
We got givers out there, but it's sad. A lot of people don't.
They don't care, Michelle. They don't care.
I wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that that's awesome that, you know, you're working with the safe houses and you're serving in the area of healing and, you know, you've been through a lot of different forms of abuse yourself, so you can relate to a lot of different areas. And, you know, just your servanthood, the fact that you're there on your, look, you're washing people's feet, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
You're serving,
like Jesus,
you know?
Like Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and they were crying, telling like, we ain't worthy of this. And he told them, you don't stop what I need to do. I have to fulfill this. I'm so grateful for God that has healed and helped me. I can't help but give. And I see who is more better to love on a hurting person but a one but one that used to be hurt or hurting. When I was hurting, I used to go give love, just to give me a brief moment of not feeling anything, you know. So I always been a giver. I do it more now as an adult, you know.
Right. And you're right. When you're going through those downtimes, giving reminds you like you're serving, you're worthy, you're still being used by God, so you're still alive. You're really living, you're in the moment. No matter what it looks like to other people, you're living in the moment and walking according to the purpose and the will. You're in God's will. So as long as you continue to do that, you know, you're in good.
I'm gonna do that to the day I die, because first of all, you know, everybody that say they wanna be like Jesus don't live to that expectation. I literally do wanna be like him. Because he loved on me.
All you can do is try.
And I'm going to love him. But when you do it in the name of Jesus, he makes it. I'm telling you, listen, I can be gone all day doing stuff, right? But I come in, I have all the energy because because God loves to be loved on. He loves for us to praise him, right? So I'm doing his will. And then by the time I get home, I fall out. But it's worth it. I got that gift that he gave me. I can literally feel people's pain, literally.
Wow.
And I remember when he gave it to me, the beginning of that, which was, like I said, before I even knew who God was, I always been a giver, I never did like to see nobody hurt, but God gave me that gift where I literally feel their hurt. I literally feel their pain.
But to be summoned to it, right, it's different.
Yes. Okay. But I want to be an example. I want to be an example to others to let them know that this is not a religious show. I'm not into religion or anything like that. But Carol knows do talk about God because he is who I serve. Yes. He cleaned me up. He healed my wound.
Yeah.
When I thought and what God did for me, no man that's living can do it. Yeah. So I know there's a God, right? That's all about it. I know there's a God. Because couldn't no man do it. And the enemy called the devil, ain't nothing good in him. Ain't nothing good. Ain't no happiness. Ain't no peace. And there's no love. So automatically, you know. That ain't God, right? If the enemy wants you to stay miserable, he wants you to stay sad. He wants you to stay alone. He wants you to feel that you're the only person on earth that is going through that. I did. I came to NASCAR in 2012 and didn't even know NASCAR existed. Didn't even know there were other people that had experienced what I experienced. I thought I was the only person in the whole wide world.
Right.
But it's not true. God healed us to be an example to show people that you don't have to hold on to this by yourself, that you're not alone. This is for everybody who's on the internet now or listening on the phone. You do understand this. You are not alone. We don't come here for a certain type of abuse. We are here for all the abuses. Why? Because most of us had experienced all of it. Some had experienced one or two, but there are some we experienced it all. Mental abuse is just as bad as emotional abuse. Emotional abuse is just as bad as physical abuse. Physical abuse is just as bad as sexual abuse. Pain is pain.
That's right. We
all know what that feels like. So you're not alone. And I tell people all the time, what did you do first? First I did is start talking about it. God did the rest. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to make no one want to believe in God. That's your choice. All I'm saying is, one thing I can say is this. If you want to begin your healing journey, and there's no time limit to that, talk about it. And if you can't, and when I say talk about it, I don't care if you say it out loud to yourself or write it down. See, you know, and see what you're doing. Write it down, but you need to get it out. Because I'm going to tell you something. The abuse that you endure, and I don't need to name again all the abuses. Everybody heard me. But the abuses that you have endured, if you don't let it out, I'm telling you, as a witness, it will eat you up inside, and it will affect your physical.
That's right.
I mean, literally, it will affect your physical body. So let's get together, let's change that, and let your healing begin. I don't want nobody to be eaten up physically inside. You can get, I mean, physically, it will make you, you will get ill. You can bring on illnesses. It will eat your body. It will eat the physical. And let's not forget the mental, mentally destroying your mind. So it's time to, we don't have to hold on to that. And it ages you. It ages you. I met this little girl. I'm getting emotional. I'm telling you, I thought this child was 16, 17 years old. She was 10.
She was 10 years old.
I went to a facility for abused teenage girls. She was 10. And this child looked 16, 17 years old. Because she was beaten down, her poor little body. She sat there and looked at me. And I looked at a little girl who I knew automatically her innocence was taken away at a young age. And I knew it didn't begin at 10. Even though I thought this child was 16, 17, she was 10 years old, had her legs crossed, popping gum, looking at me. Her innocence was taken away at 4 years old. Her childhood was snatched, and she was put in different stages of adult things that only adults should know, but she was introduced to all that as a child.
Yeah. That is so,
how can you sit and
so
tell that little girl, and I could tell her little body, I went through it, and she had a mature adult body, and she was only 10 years old.
Yep.
And she looked at me and said, what is it you can possibly tell me? You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what none of us is going through. You ain't been there where we've been. You sitting there with your fancy suit, carrying your Louis Vuitton purse, looking all cute, smelling all good. What do you know about what we've been through? And that was the open door for me to come in. And I said, I'll be happy to tell you if you allow me to share it. And she said, I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. And all the other girls said, but we do, because I'm curious. She said she understands. Well, let's see what she understands without us even telling you what we've been through. Let's hear your story. By the time I got done, it wasn't a dry in the room, not even the officers that were standing there when I got done. And that 10-year-old that looked like she was 17, that said she was 16, no, when I thought she was 16, 17, but she was 10, well, she had her body and her chest buried, and she collapsed in my arms. See, when you share, and you know this, when we share being survivors, when we share what happened, it ain't something you can read in a book.
No.
You have to experience what we talk about our mouth. So they knew that what I was saying was real, but what had them got broken down emotion was like, but you look like that, and we look like this. And I say,
well,
but
you
don't have to look
Michelle,
like
this is so,
you don't have to look like that.
So true.
Go ahead.
It's so true. It's so true. Because okay, Michelle and I both have been out on the streets. We've learned a lot from being out there. We can't help not.
Mm-hmm.
We learn about survival out there too. And like I was saying last night, I know what it feels like to have the pavement under my head. You know what it feels like. Now listen.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't make junk.
No, he doesn't.
He does not make junk. We turn into junk. Okay? You can use
that's
that
good.
In any And in any place, and whether it be political or whether it be non-political, whether it be environmental, whatever it is, it's the whole sphere of evilness. Because, you see, unlike the animals, God gave us a choice. We're either going to be good or we're going to be bad. He gave us a conscience, unless we're totally, totally mentally, I've come to that conclusion, like the psychopaths that I used to work with. Maybe they didn't know right from wrong. But normally speaking, and they're wired differently in their brain, but normally speaking, yes, we do know right from wrong. And, you know, when we've been out there, like you're talking about, Michelle, now Michelle has worked with the homeless just like I have, but she's worked in shelters. She's an ordained minister. She's a counselor. She's all kinds of things. And it took a lot of good, hard, long work. But she wouldn't be as effective as she is today if she had not walked the walk. That's why she can so
easily
walk the talk. Yes.
That's right.
All right? I hear that, and I know that. So, you see, when you have survivors and then you have survivors, but we don't take a yardstick, though, Michelle. All right, people didn't have lives quite like we did, and there's a few others like that, too, on our show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the point is trauma is trauma. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, because they've decided that this is reality. When a child is watching, you know, domestic violence at home, or they're watching sexual abuse, and then they get sexually abused, or they get beaten, well, the things that they're watching all of a sudden turns and happens to them, okay? These kids are not going to grow up normal. You can't expect normal behavior from people who are not normal. And this is why I zero in so much on the youth. I try to. I have kids calling me 17 years old. They're not supposed to, maybe, but they call and I don't care. They got my name off of NASCA. and maybe over at the colleges that I used to work at, you know, Dyfus has taken that job. They got a grant, Michelle. So, all right, they don't need speakers like us. So, but the point is this. The point is this. These kids, you know, who have been out there, a child, you're speaking about a child who was sexually abused at such a young age, 4. I was 6. How old were you? I think you were 6 too, weren't you, or something? I don't know. I don't remember.
The sexual abuse began at 6. The physical, mental, and emotional abuse began at 2.
Okay, there you go. So when we're brought from, you know, areas like that, we're going to have a different mindset, you know, than a kid who came from the Brady Bunch. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. And we're going to make a lot of mistakes ourselves because we're bringing ourselves up. And that's where I think forgiveness needs to be used, you know. We have to learn to forgive ourselves because as we go along in life, especially if we do seek help, and I said, please do get help, you know, if you've been abused. But what happens is we start seeing the error, if you will, of our ways, that we too made mistakes along the line. Where did they come from, though? A lot of times it came from our past and in the environment in which we were brought up in. But we can forgive ourselves. We can forgive ourselves because, you see, today I'm a far, far different person than what I was when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, I was into devil worship. I was, you know, with Ouija boards, and I was with anything dark. It seemed exciting, okay?
Don't even start because you know that's who I used to be before I met Jesus.
I want to know what Nancy think
of me and your conversation that we just had. Did you have some input or your comment, Nancy?
She's on hold right now.
Oh, is she on hold?
Yeah, maybe she might have put herself on hold. Maybe she just wants to listen. Okay, that's all right. I'll open it up in a few. Maybe we triggered her. I don't know. We might have.
Did you put her on hold or did she put herself on hold?
Oh, she just dropped off. Okay. All right, okay. Sometimes when people have walked down so many different roads in their life, when we speak about it, you know, it's It's a little bit much for them. Now, she's on hold again. She called back in. I think she just wants to listen. I'll go to her again.
What?
In a couple minutes.
When would you ask her?
I want to know if she just wants to listen. Let me just say.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, Nancy,
did you hear me?
Hi.
I was talking, and then they got cut off, and then I called back, and I was muted. So I'm ready.
Oh, okay, good. Because sometimes people get triggered.
Yeah, I got.
You know, they get triggered, and they want to just listen.
This was a great topic. This was a great topic.
Well, it is.
Because what
it
happens is, you know, a lot of times when we sit down and we talk to gifted children, they have had a very traumatic childhood. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we are very spiritually connected. So going through a spiritual journey and not having any type of insight or basis on spirituality and going through it by yourself is very scary. And so that's why you see a lot of, you're seeing a rise in suicide and depression and anxiety and all this stuff is because people are walking into a whole nother season of this world and this generation and this spiritual journey, everything. There's so much going on that it could be very, it's like, hyper-stimulating to somebody, especially somebody that has no type of background or no power or any type of knowledge about spirituality. I think when you're dealing with spiritual warfare and you're going into a realm of, okay, I'm fighting with the blood of Jesus because you understand those stories, you connect with those stories, and not only that, you also understand the power that's in the blood that kills everything at the end. So now you have tools, you're equipped. You're better equipped, right? Then you have somebody who's dealing with these spiritual warfares, but they have no type of weapons. They don't know how to use them. They're not equipped. They don't know how to speak against those bad thoughts. You know, so now they're in a position where they had a chance to survive, but they didn't know how to fight, how to survive. So I just think it's awesome that you know, that you're digging, you're going in, you're growing in your spirituality and your spiritual walk. And that's all we can do is just be accountable and try our best to grow.
Absolutely.
You know, that's one thing that I gotta say.
Well, we
What's
can be
thought?
Examples. Yeah, well, we're examples. That's what we are, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, Michelle, you were talking about giving before. And yes, we are in a spiritual warfare. You bet we are. Our country is, all right? That's a fact. But what I wanted to say here is, you know, God gives us the tools. We learn the tools along the way. And we can be examples. And sometimes, though, I give because I can. A lot of times, you know, I'm not wealthy, but I'm better off than a lot of other people. Let's put it that way, okay? So I will give. Sometimes people then look at that as a sign of weakness or she's a softie. So you have to be careful, okay, with your giving. But I always think to myself, I don't care because I did the right thing. You know, if I have more than my neighbor has or more than someone that I know has, whatever the case might be, I like to give because that's what we're supposed to do. If we could just give to each other, you know, whether it be food, whatever it might be, clothing, I don't know, I'm just saying. You name the topic. You know, sometimes, you know, if people just don't realize that you are a generous person and you're also a person of God. And we're in the spiritual warfare right now. And
absolutely. Nonstop.
You know, all this stuff that's going on, look at our country. I know people didn't like Trump. There's a lot of people that didn't. I did. I thought it was funny as hell. That's just the way I am. I have a weird sense of humor. But, you know, so he and I would have gotten along.
I ain't making no comment on that one.
Let me just say something here. One thing only. Look at our country now.
Oh, Jesus.
Look at it now. and look at it before. That's all. That's all I got to say.
What that mean? I'm
what
curious
that mean?
Guy.
I'll tell
what
you
that
what
mean?
Mean. Okay. Well, look at it. We've got terrible inflation, and that inflation came across because we have so many people coming to the border. Now, look, I want to say something here.
That was
I'm
happening when he was there.
Yeah, it started, but he stopped it by putting the wall up. He wanted to. Now, listen to me and think about what I say. Okay, the Great Wall of China, they're allowed to have a wall to keep the bad guys out. I'm talking about the drug dealers, all this. Of course, a lot of the drugs are coming from China. But the movie stars with their mansions, they have walls around their mansions to keep the bad guys out. And, of course, they're guard dogs. We know this. We know that the Vatican, I'm Catholic, we know that the Vatican has all kinds of walls around it to keep the bad guys out. I think some of the bad guys are in there, but we won't talk about that right now.
I want to say about your Trump that when he put that little thing on the border, it caused women to get raped. It caused pedophiles to rape kids. It caused him taking kids from their family, putting them in cages like dogs. That's what I saw.
Okay, in 2014, that's before Trump, Obama had those cages made, and they've proven that. Now, here's the problem.
Okay, wait a minute. Even though those cages was made, with no kids in no cage in 2014. Those kids got in cages when Trump.
They got pictures of it, videos. Yeah, but let's not go there.
Yeah, we ain't gonna go there.
We're
gonna go there. We're gonna raise a war. We do.
No. We will. You
I'm
and I can't
kidding.
Fight. We don't know how. But anyway, here's
we don't know
here's
how.
The
not
thing.
To each other.
No,
you're right
don't.
About that.
No, we don't. Now,
I'm just thinking.
But I want people to think. Because you don't need to have, you said this, you said that, he said this, he said that. All you have to do is look at the way it is today with all the fentanyl coming in. All right, fentanyl is rampant now.
MS-13
are coming back all over the place. We've got all these bad people because they can just walk across the border. They're not being tested for the COVID or anything. A lot of them are not. So we've got so many things coming into our country. Now, if all these other people can have the walls, we can have a wall too. This is our country. Come into our country, but come in legally. I don't have any problems with coming into our country, but come in legally. If you can't do that, then stay out.
They come in because of the poor conditions and how they are being treated in their own land.
Yes.
There's no freedom in any other country. It's freedom here in the United States, and that is why everybody come over here in the first place, because of how they're being treated. And why not? Because Trump and the United States, your United States, as soon as these people come over here, they automatically take care of them. They're not even taking care of their own in the United States. We get a loan.
That's
we got to pay it back. They come over here. They get a big old loan. Don't have to pay it back. They can open a business. They go to school for free. They get tax free for 10 years. Come on now. So if I was in a foreign country, I'd be running over here too.
Okay, let me say something. Let me say something, Michelle. I'm all for, like I just said, if you want to become, come into our country. Come into our country, but do it legally. And we had Ellis Island. That happened way back, oh, my God. So in the early 1900s, okay? But they did it the right way. They were vetted, as they call it. And my God, if you didn't have the proper paperwork and if you were sick, I hate to say this, but if you were sick, you got sent back, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have coming through our country? They're the ones that made our country. They were masons. We're Italian. They knew how to do masonry work and stuff like that and how to build and work with all kinds of stuff. But they were all different kinds of people. Some were tailors. Some were this. Some were that. It doesn't matter. The point is those people wanted to be an American, and those people would never burn our flag because they were now American. They did it the right way. And, you know, today, because there's so many people coming over, it's kind of hard at this point to do it the right way because, what is it, 2 million people coming across our border? This is crazy. We can't even house them. We can't feed them. It's too much.
That's a whole lot of
it's, well,
that's a whole
you know,
lot.
It's
that,
disgusting.
You know, yeah.
And this
yeah.
is the problem, though, when you start talking about the pimping. Okay, let's talk about that.
Talk about who?
A lot of the pimping. A lot of the kids that are coming into our country now, they're pimped out on the streets. Look at the law and
yes.
order that we don't have. Think about it. You know, MJ.
That's the predator and pedophile playground. They go
that's
to
right.
they go to bus stations, they go to airports, and they even
yep.
drive the streets because you'll see them out there. They have no place to go. They are unloved and they need
that's
attention.
Right.
And
it,
that's
it,
what
it,
they do.
It's
they,
disgusting. It's disgusting, Michelle.
Mm.
So that's why the stats have gone way, 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 way up. Because and they were bad enough before. So these poor kids, they come over to our country. And their parents might have the best of intentions. And in fact, they even pay people sometimes. They stay behind. But they'll pay people to bring them over. I don't know how much. And so then they get over here, and they take them, and they put them on the streets. Okay?
Yeah, because the people that they go to these poor countries with families, got a lot of kids, and they give them some money, and they say, oh, we can take your child and give them a better life and get them a great job, and they can send money back to you. All lies. They just to get their kids from them and then take them and put them in human trafficking. That human trafficking is the worst thing that is going on right now in the United States, and it is 100% the rise, the percentage is already over 100%. It's happening everywhere. Even up under our nose in the United States.
It's disgusting. There's no words to even describe what's going on down at the border. But if you notice, Biden doesn't go down there, nor does his vice president.
Well, why should they?
Well, why shouldn't they? They should go down there and see the truth. All right?
Well, Trump, when he was president, he should have went down there, too.
He's not in office. But let me tell you something.
When he was
in
office, he didn't go down there.
Yeah, but he put the fences up. He wanted those fences up. And he tried to keep the people out. For God's sake, now that we have so that they can come in, they're coming in all right by the droves. You know what? You know, let me tell you something. I get a little tickled here, and I'll tell you why. Because I watch most of those people, not all of them now, mind you, but most of those people that come in, what's the most popular sneaker right now?
What's the most what?
Popular sneaker right now.
You said popular secret?
No. Sneaker. You know, like at one time it was Adidas or something. Nike.
I can't think right now. It's one
but
of them.
But
let's say
Nike just for argument's sake because we all know Nike, all right? They're coming in, and someone made a comment about this, and I looked at it, and I thought, my God, they're right. A lot of them are coming in, and they have decent clothing on. Then you have those who do not have decent clothing on. It seems like it's one way or the other. But the cartel is bringing these people in, and they've been given a certain amount of money to do this, you know, these children and sometimes families, you know, whatever, if they have enough money. And then, like I said, when we were talking, the kids are taken away, and you know what? They don't have to wear masks. A lot of times, you see them without masks. They haven't been tested. They're bringing in all different kinds of things that we got rid of in our country. They are. So you see, and then what do we go through? Oh, you go into a restaurant to get a bite to eat, as long as the restaurant stays open, right? And so you have to walk in with a mask, right? You have to walk in with the mask on. You go and you sit down. And then when your food comes, you're allowed to take your mask off. Well, what do you think those germs are doing?
Now, what's going on in Ohio?
Your mask hat on.
You ain't even got to wear a mask. You can walk in without a mask. These restaurants where I live up here, you ain't even got to wear a mask. You can walk in without a mask on. All the businesses are open. No masks required. The only place that I've seen where you have to wear a mask is in the hospital. They won't even let you in the door. You can't even come in the hospital without a mask on or a nursing home. Other than that, everything else is open without a mask.
Wow.
Crazy.
Nancy, what were you going to say? Nancy was talking too. Why?
Oh, go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, could you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Okay, so it's a lot of different topics going on. So as far as...
Jill and I always have a good time here. Yes,
we do that a lot, Nancy. We do that a lot.
Yeah. So my ADD clicked in for a minute, and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. All right, so...
we can't hear you anymore.
We were talking about the mask.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Go ahead.
Okay. So I said for me, you know, as far as the mask goes, I think it's a personal choice. I wear my mask. There's times that if I'm outdoors and nobody's near me, I'll take it off. And then, you know, I may put it back on. And so, I mean, I think as long as we're responsible and do what's best for the majority, you know, not just ourselves, but to make sure everybody's safe, especially with what we're dealing with, the, you know, orders that we're still under, it's still not clear. So all we can do is just do our part. That's for that part. That's my thought on it.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you want to wear a mask, I mean, and if it makes you feel better. Now, I happened to finally break down and go get my vaccinations. I wasn't going to get it because I don't know what's in it, and I don't trust anyone, all right? So I don't know. I had some friends that got sick, and I was with them, but I didn't get sick. I was with them for 5-6 hours. I went to a small, very small birthday party. This is going back last March, and I think it was pretty rampant back then or something. But anyway, so I went to a very small party, and I didn't catch anything. They didn't even know that they had it. 2 days later, they're terribly sick. One was put on a ventilator for a while, and the other two were okay. And then there was myself, and I had nothing. I went and got tested. So a part of me was saying, well, either you're going to get it or you're not going to get it. We broke bread together. We ate together. We had cake together. We did. You know what I'm saying? I was there for at least 5 hours. I did not get sick.
Well, my thing is, I really don't even care. The only thing I care about is when you come into a facility or a business or whatever, and then you might have that one, they have the audacity to freaking cough or sneeze without covering their mouth. I'm like, really? But I'm like the road runner. I don't ran to the one end. I throw a scream. Are you crazy? Really? And your spit particles are all over the freaking place.
Well,
if anyone has it, yes. If anyone has it, I'm military, so I still got friends at the Pentagon. I know about this disease. It's been out really since the 80s. They just lost control of it. Why it did what it did, but that's another conversation that I ain't trying to have because a lot of people don't believe me and I don't really care. But but
you'll scare
but I do know I do know this part. I do know this, and I want to say this for everybody to know. Wherever you at, if someone sneezes, run, because when it hits the air, it's up there for 4 minutes. So if they got anything, you don't want to be up under that cough or that sneeze, the particles coming out, you know? Because if it get on you, whatever's in it, it's going to be on you. That's all I got to say about that. Because it lasts four minutes
that.
In the atmosphere
that.
Before it dies, I'm telling you.
Well, I heard, yeah. I agree with you, but I heard recently that they say that the molecules, the little tiny things that they are that come out of a person's mouth and out of their nose is so tiny that it even goes through the mask, that the masks are not even effective.
Yes.
I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
I can't take anymore.
That's, That's why I wear an astronaut suit with the plastic thing around. My daughter's a nurse.
Wow.
I got one of the doctors.
Yeah, like
I got one of
Mars,
the doctors
man.
Thing. Don't matter.
Like
when I go
Mars
into the prisons, when I walk into
yeah
the jails, I'm loaded.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
I ain't get ready to get nothing.
No,
I'm suited up because they ain't got no windows in the jail. So imagine all those prisoners. What do you think when they sneeze and cough? Where do you think it's going?
Yeah,
right there, filling up the
cells. That's right. That's right. And then I heard that animals can get it.
Yeah.
I heard. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah
they are carriers. Hello.
That's right. And they were talking about pigs last week. Okay, so there's a pork.
Let me
so
tell
what do you
something
think of that?
It's them four countries, and they done tried it. Them four countries, don't be surprised. They are more technical and intelligent than we are. Or they copy us. And they can bring, that's why they stop allowing people to bring all these foreign pets and stuff. Don't you know you're coming from different countries and they got that crap and it's in the animals and you bringing them over here and now you
of
decide
course
to stop it. Can you? But look what's already over here in the United States. Come on. People got to use wisdom.
It's just so many,
here
many things. I mean, it's just so much. I learned that the poor Nancy, she's going to become anorexic after this. But anyway, let me tell you, this is
why,
what they say.
Why?
Oh, Jesus.
I'll tell you what they say. Okay, like on the cans, for some reason, the cans, I don't know why. I don't know. It makes no sense to me. None of it makes sense to me. But if someone coughs and sneezes, they buy a bunch of cans in the store, like canned vegetables or whatever, soups, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It lasts on that much longer than it lasts on paper or plastic.
Oh, plastic, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it does. That's the
that's
truth.
That's why we have to wash the cans before we open them. It's so important to wash it with your
well, I wear plastic gloves when I go into the grocery store.
Water.
I won't even have a mask on, but I got some plastic gloves on. I ain't touching nothing
Lord
in there in the grocery store.
Lord. Okay.
Yeah, I better put on some plastic
I
gloves.
Was like that
stop playing.
When this first happened, and now I haven't been doing that. I was like that at the beginning. I did not care.
Girl, when you go get gas, you better put some. You better have a plastic glove on when you pump that gas.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And I did that too. But recently, I've been doing the hand sanitizer. But you know, it's getting too comfortable.
Ain't gonna work. Girl, I'm letting y'all know. Listen to an expert from the military, and I'm still getting information from my co-op. I'm telling you,
okay,
that ain't going to work. Okay? That ain't going to work.
Oh, my God. I got to tell the kids that.
So
okay,
get
whoa,
some freaking
yo,
plastic gloves. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Get some plastic gloves. Get the disposal plastic gloves, guys.
Yes.
Put it in your car. Just put on one, you know, use the same hands,
yeah,
do your thing
clean
now.
Stay clean. Stay clean.
I have them in my car, too. I have them in my car.
Yeah.
So let me say something here.
Keep them.
I agree with that. Because there's Nazis
okay
all over the place. All this Nazis. But anyway.
Oh, my
listen,
God.
I got to bring my gloves downstairs.
Now, you see, all this talk that we have here, which is the world in which we live.
Yes.
Think of the people who are just starting their healing journey, and they're having all different kinds of things that they're going through. They're still having nightmares. They're having flashbacks. They're having things that trigger them. Boy, are we triggering them tonight. But anyway, I'm triggering them, you know. There's triggering going on. And they suffer from all these things that maybe, thank God, I know that I've gotten over, finally. Took me many years, honey. All right, so... But it comes to a point in our lives where we can sit and have these discussions, the three of us, and we're not going to freak out. But you see, there's people out there that are listening right now that are afraid to go out of their house. They don't want to wear the mask because when they were a child, someone put a hand over their mouth, like I'm doing right now, so that they can
same thing happened to me, but I tell you what, same thing happened to me as a kid. use wisdom and use knowledge. When we get out here, this disease is not a joke. It's real. The fourth strand is already out. The fourth strand. Me and my grandson was in Kroger's store, and this man sneezed. Me and my grandson looked up in the air, and we saw those particles. By the time we saw the particles, me and him were like the road runner. We had already ran 6 rows there.
That's so funny. You did not see the particles. Okay, well, I don't think
yes,
you saw
the
particles. Yes, we did. Well, then what kind of
suit
they have? I don't know.
Oh, yes, I did. Like a mist, man. Me and my grandson, we ran. We were in the fourth lane. We ran around and went out the door, left the car and everything, go to another store.
We don't have that. This is a fast show, let me tell you something. We have like 6 minutes left. Maybe they're pushing the clocks ahead, so it won't get us off. I don't know.
Are we only got 6 minutes? Okay,
that's
I got to say this real quick then, and then I'm done.
Yeah,
I just want to say this real quick. This was a great show, and... Our names and emails are on NASA website. I'm Minister Michelle Bless. If anyone needs someone to talk to, feel free to call me. You can email me or you can text me anytime. I'm available. And if you want to get me fast, I keep my phone in the bed with me so I can hear the text faster than the phone. If it's late night, if I'm having to sleep, I can hear it. So I will look and I will call back. Just let me know that you're calling from NASCA or you listen to a show from NASCA or you found my name on the website, and then I'll respond.
Okay.
I get a lot of spam, so I answer the phone call. Some phone calls I let it go just to see if it goes to voicemail, so don't be afraid. You know, you ain't got to say your name. If you want me to know your name, just say, hey, I just called. I just need someone to talk to, and I will immediately dial the number right back. I will call you back. And if no one told you today that they don't love you, I want you to know that we love you, and God loves you, and I love you.
That's right.
And that's it.
Okay.
Oh, and read Psalms 91 or Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, or Psalms 91. And thank you. It's been great.
Okay. All right, now, just a little bit about child abuse, just a little bit here. It says only 34% of people receive medical attention. We just went over that. But they also are more apt to suffer from impulsivity. Do you know what impulsivity is? We who are, you know, survivors, until we get to a certain point in our survival rate, whatever you want to call it, in our journey, we are so many times much, much, much too impulsive. And when we get angry or hurt, you know, someone's hurt us, a lot of times we'll go out, we're going to drive away. We don't drive away slowly. We put the pedal to the metal, and that puts us in harm's way and other people too. But we have that mindset because we're so filled with rage and upset, okay? This is a part of how childhood behavior comes into adult behavior, all right? We don't think, we just do. Adverse childhood experiences totals $1.33 trillion a year for Northern America and Europe. All right, $1.33 trillion. Now, for the United States, for our country, it's $124 billion that we spend a year. And what does that mean? That means also, too, that, you know, people, you know, they need psychological treatment, you know, because of all the hurt that they've gone through. They've been abused so much and all this other stuff. All these things, so many things, how it affects us, our psyche, all right?
Yes.
And sometimes people have to go in and go inpatient because they're so afflicted because of what happened to them as children. And so this is why I say to everyone, for God's sake, you know, if you see something, say something. And I want to say here, too, 78% of children reported that they saw something traumatic happen before the age of 5. before the age of five, that's 78% of a huge group of children. Adults who suffer from developmental trauma when you're growing up at a very early age may go on to develop, of course, complex PTSD. What is complex PTSD? That's when you've been abused time after time after time after time, or you've even witnessed something time after time after time after time. And those problems, you have memory problems. You have distorted memories many times if you have been abused of your abuser. Sometimes they actually protect their abuser, or they don't see quite, or maybe I asked for it, maybe they have shame, whatever. They look at their son.
I need to interrupt you for a minute. I just got a text. Someone is listening. Did you see another caller online?
Yes, 717. I'm going to get them on right
can
now.
Can you connect them, please, so they can speak real quick?
Who am I speaking to? 717.
Hi, 717. This is Al from Pennsylvania. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Al. How you doing?
Hello.
I'm alive, so it counts for something. I'm so thankful that this exists today, this show itself, no matter what the form, because it's a great platform for people to interact and share and realize that they're not alone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just like to, once again, just say I'm thankful.
Well, I'm thankful
you're so welcome.
I'm so thankful that, you know, I'm vice president here, and I love to hear things like that. I want NASCA to be a platform where people can express their feelings openly and freely. This is what I want. And, yes, we speak the topic. It's just child abuse, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's what it is. But also, too, it's the adult of the child abuse, okay, what we turn into, what happens, how can we work on it. We have many programs on NASCA, NASCA.org, NASCA.org. And if you open up our website, you'll see a lot of areas where you can learn from our website how to treat children, how to teach your children if you have children, and so forth and so on. As far as the other side of what we do here at NASCA, like Michelle and I, when we're like sisters. We're sisters. That's just the way it is. Yes, we do air our feelings, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that because it promotes a lot of controversy. People speak about it, talk about it, open their minds a little bit. It's good to have open minds and open thoughts. So I kind of like to cover a lot of different things in our hour and a half, which goes by so, so quickly. And so we have interesting topics and conversations. So I'm very happy that you called in now. And my boss will hear what you just said. And you know what? I think it's a good thing. If we open up and speak about what's on our minds, and we can, you know, if you need help, we're here too. We can be just as serious as we can be comical, okay? We are here 24/7. Yes. And we have the contact page. I'm on the top. I'm the night owl. I'm up in the AM. And if people need me, and they do, oh, Lord Jesus, they call me. Yes, they do.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, and, I also am part of a men's prayer line that we've been doing on a regular basis for some time now. And it's a bunch of pastors as well as parishioners, if you will, of the church, all men. And we are out here connecting with younger men out here that have been through so much that, you know, not only knows what it is they went through that got them to the point they're at, where they're destitute, hooked on drugs, in the streets, you know, 24/7. And we reach out to show them that there's hope, you know, and we hope to be the electricity to just turn their light bulbs back on, you know. So.
Well, listen, you need to, you know, whenever you get a chance, you know, give them this number and they can call in and listen to the show. And for any of the ones that got phones, you just give them this number. This show is on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. I come on. My show is this show on the first Thursday of every month, but I'll be coming on more, helping my sister out.
Yes.
Okay. Remind me to come on. I'll be coming on other days, too, with her. Okay.
If you would like to drop me a line, let me say something to him. All right, my if you go to the contact page, I'm Carol, CarolDS.
I don't even know how to get to the contact page or anything. I'm pretty much stupid when it comes to
Carol, just give him your number out loud. He can write it down.
I'll just give you my number because everybody knows anyway. It's 908.
908-857. Okay.
2455.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my
now,
home phone. And
no,
you
wait,
can call.
I don't know how to do.
Go ahead.
What I do is I call and I hang up and then I'll save your information in. Give me 1 second. And I'm back. Just like that. That's just a little system I have. So then
just
I will
give her
call
a call. At, just give her. We got to. She got to wrap it up. But just give her a call.
Go for it.
At your convenience. Okay.
Yes. And well, I'd love to learn more about your program. I would love to learn that. And maybe
she might,
because
she might end up inviting. I'll just very say that she might want to invite me to show as a guest.
We have a good time.
Nancy, I know Nancy's listening. Nancy, I need you to get my number and call me when you get a chance. It's 513-212-5429.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Say it one more time.
513-212-5429.
There you go.
5429. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right, everybody, this is an excellent show. And, yes, we are free people. We speak as we feel, all right? And we also speak about what we know, all right? So
Amen.
Good night. God bless all of you. And let's hope for and pray for a better tomorrow. Okay, good night. Yeah.
Good night.
God bless everyone.
Good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You are the sky.